Welcome to the Crispin Commentary Daily Mortgage News Podcast. I'm your host, Robbie Crispin. Topics on today's episode include life after mortgage, my interview with Vizio Lending's Jeff Ball on term financing for stabilized rentals, and what to look forward to from the Federal Open Market Committee's meeting today. Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Vizio Lending. With over $2.5 billion closed loans for single-family rental properties, including vacation rentals, Vizio is fast, simple, and dependable when it comes to financing rental properties. They believe time is money and strive to be upfront and consistent about their qualifications. Using a simple DSCR rather than a complicated NOI calculation, there are no tax returns or personal financial statements, and their pricing is set, so you always know your rate. Learn more, including about Vizio's top-notch broker program, at VizioLending.com. Anyone wonder what happens after someone steps away from mortgage banking? Well, after exiting Ellie Mae / ICE, Jonathan Corr finds himself involved in Broadway shows, apparently stepping away from lending entirely. Broadway shows aren't inexpensive, nor is producing mortgages. Unfortunately, it's easier to spend more than spend less. Just ask Congress under every administration. But there are some ways that some lenders made money in 2023. Dumping low producers, reducing LO commissions, dropping technology that doesn't add profitability or efficiency, consolidating back offices with other lenders, and adding outsourcers come to mind. Meanwhile, consumers and potential borrowers are also, as usual, grappling with finances, and in the Q4 2023 TransUnion Credit Industry Insights report, consumer credit balances continue to remain at historically high levels as consumers have used that available credit to manage their finances during a recent environment of high costs. For today's interview, I want to welcome back to the show Vizio Lending's Jeff Ball to talk about term financing for stabilized rentals. Mr. Ball is responsible for setting Vizio's overall strategy and direction. And prior to forming Vizio Lending, he founded Vizio's predecessor company, EconoHomes.
I do want to start by getting people back up to speed here. I know we've had you on the show before, but I think it bears repeating. What is a DSCR loan? What should people know about it? And give us a little breakdown, because Vizio is the largest DSCR lender out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's this term, you know, has become much more commonplace in the mortgage industry. 2-3 years ago, I would say a lot of folks had never heard the term. It stands for debt service coverage ratio, and I'll unpack that a little bit. But when you take a step back and you look at financing for investors, when investors are looking to finance a single family property, that's a 1-4 unit property, it typically falls into three categories. First, they're either looking for financing for new construction. They want to build a new property that they're going to rent out, or they're buying an existing property that needs some improvements. And so they're going to use something that in the capital markets is referred to as a residential transition loan or an RTL. It's more commonly referred to as a fix and flip loan or a hard money loan, where they can purchase the property and make some improvements to it. Those loans are typically short-term, 12 months or 24 months, and include some construction financing. Or they're looking for term financing for a property that is stabilized. So that could be term financing to take out their hard money loan. Now that the property is complete, they're looking to have longer-term financing to hold that property as a rental property. Or it could be an investor that's purchasing an established property that's in good enough condition to rent it out, either as a long-term rental or a short-term rental, or even what's now being referred to as a mid-term rental. So a DSCR loan falls into that third bucket of term financing. And so, you know, a little bit more specifically, a DSCR loan is it's typically a 30-year term mortgage. It's being made for a business purpose, and this is very important. These loans are not available for consumer purposes, meaning you can't get a DSCR loan to finance a home that you plan to live in. Instead, it's for an investor that's going to hold a rent-ready single-family property. So that's what it is. And you know, the appeal to investors, there's a few things that really appeal to them about this financing. In the past, you know, what investors really had two choices. First, they could go get an agency loan, a Fannie or Freddie loan for an investment property, or they could get bank financing, you know, from their small or regional bank. And this DSCR loan really came into existence back in 2016 when we and another originator kind of launched this marketplace. And so the appeal to an investor is that rather than underwriting the loan based on their personal income, it's actually underwritten based on the property level cash flows. So debt service coverage ratio is a fancy way of saying how well does the rent cover some of the fixed payments on the property. So that's just a quick introduction to what is a DSCR loan and how does it work.
So two quick follow-ups to that. If I'm an individual, if I'm Robbie Chrisman, and I want to get a DSCR loan, is it as simple as setting up an LLC for my business so then I can get one? And part two of that question would be, can you explain the difference between a DSCR loan and a rental loan or a loan on a vacation rental?
Sure. So the first part of that, so most DSCR loans are financed to a corporate entity, whether it's a corporation, a C corp or S corp, or an LLC. And that's actually very appealing to a lot of investors that they can hold their investment properties in a corporate entity, which provides them with potentially some shielding of other assets in the event that something were to happen with that rental property. So I would say 85% of the DSCR loans that get done are to a corporate entity, but it's not required. You could actually, if you own the property, Robbie, in your personal name, you could choose to just finance it in your personal name. All of these loans do have personal recourse on them. So if you put the property in an LLC, DSCR lenders are going to require that you sign a personal guarantee on that loan. But that is certainly one of the benefits with an agency loan. You're required to finance in your personal name. Your second question was, how does the financing of a DSCR loan differ, I think, between a long-term rental and a short-term rental? So just, you know, by way of definition, a long-term rental would typically be a property that's being rented for 90 days or more. Most typically, it's a year-long lease that you're living in with your family. And so that's going to be based on the actual in-place rent, if the property is being rented, or based on the rent that is established by the appraiser. And so that's how it works on a long-term rental. On a short-term rental, think Airbnb or VRBO, your favorite vacation spot. We actually kind of pioneered using DSCR loans for those types of properties. And there, the underwriting of the rent is a bit more nuanced because it has to take into account your daily average rate as well as your occupancy rate. And so we'll use a variety of different data points. In some, you know, markets where there are a fair amount of short-term rentals, appraisers are actually familiar with how to appraise rents. And so we might look at the appraiser's estimation of rents. We're also going to look at some of the online tools that are available that give us some insight into other comparable properties in the area. We'll take all that information and we actually manually underwrite the rents on a short-term rental to establish what we think is a reasonable annualized rent. And then we adjust that for the extra operating costs associated with a short-term rental. The DSCR loan works very, very well for long-term rentals and short-term rentals.
So of the notes you sent over here, I'm going to kind of run through each of the bold things as a different question.
Sure.
Let's go through some of the appeal to investors. Why is this such a popular product, especially among some of the alternatives that exist out there?
Sure. So I already touched on the fact that first, investors do like to be able to finance properties in corporate entities for a variety of different reasons, but that is one appeal. The second is DSCR loans they're simpler to underwrite because we're not looking at the investor's personal income. We don't require the investor's tax returns. We don't require their W-2s. And, you know, often, particularly the tax returns for active real estate investors can be long and complicated. And if you incorporate that into the underwriting, it can extend the process and lead to a whole bunch of additional documentation and questions. So instead, we focus on the property level cash flow, and then we look at what the insurance costs are going to be and the tax costs, and we compare that to the rent. So I would say for investors, DSCR loans are simpler. They like to be able to finance in corporate entities. The third thing I think that's appealing to investors is DSCR lenders tend to be more lenient with respect to seasoning. What I mean by seasoning is a typical pattern for investors is that they buy a property, they renovate it, they rent it, and then they refinance it and they repeat it. This is sometimes referred to as the BRRRR methodology. For investors who are highly active, the pace at which they can recycle their capital is very important to them. And so DSCR lenders tend to be more lenient with respect to how quickly they'll allow an investor to refinance their cash out of the property so that they can go buy another property. And then the last thing I think is, you know, with agency financing, investors are typically capped at 10 agency mortgages with respect to investment properties. DSCR lenders tend to be, again, more lenient on this because they are focused on the cash flow from the properties rather than the limitations of the individual borrower's personal income. So I'd say those are probably the top four reasons that investors are drawn to DSCR loans.
If I had to guess, I probably have more brokers listening to this podcast than investors, even though I'm sure there's some out there. But what's the appeal to brokers? Why should this be highly on the radar?
So 2-3 years ago, a lot of our business came through commercial brokers. And today, given that consumer purchase and refinance volumes have, you know, remained subdued, we've got a lot of residential mortgage brokers who are interested in finding new products that they can offer into their customer base. And so some of the appeal for brokers is first, because these are business purpose loans in most jurisdictions, with a few notable exceptions, brokers can originate these or can source these loans without being licensed in the state. It's more akin to a commercial loan. So for a lot of brokers, they are attracted to the fact that there is a multi-state opportunity on DSCR loans. The second, I think, appeal is there's a lot of repeat business. In our case, in any given month, approximately 50% of our loans come from a repeat customer. And so building up a database of customers that are making, that are doing investment loans, yeah, it should be appealing to brokers because it creates a book of business that tends to remain active because investors tend to buy and sell and refinance properties in good markets and bad. They're very flexible and adaptable to changing business conditions. The other thing that's interesting to, I think, a lot of brokers is there are fewer limitations around compensation structures related to DSCR loans. So brokers can earn money on the front end, on the back end. You'll see DSCR lenders advertise that brokers can earn up to 5 points. That's not the typical. You know, the typal is probably going to be 2-2.5 points in compensation. But there is more flexibility around compensation. And then finally, to keep the broker's workload down, many of the DSCR lenders actually employ in-house processing teams. This is how we do it. We keep the workload very low for brokers, requiring really a minimum amount of documentation from them in order to get the loan working. And then we handle the processing in-house. And so for brokers who are new to DSCR lending, this is particularly attractive because there are some differences, again, dealing with corporate entities. Some of the insurance requirements are different. There can be more title issues associated with investment properties. So for brokers who are less familiar with working with an investor, having a lender such as Vizio that offers in-house processing is very attractive.
I do want to talk about Vizio before I let you go, but before we get there, What are the trends in general in the DSCR space that you're seeing out there?
So I would say the first trend I would highlight is very aggressive pricing. In the past, I would have told you that DSCR loans were typically a couple of hundred, 2 to 250 basis points more expensive than a similar agency investor loan. That's no longer the case. Today, DSCR loans finance typically are 100 basis points or so, maybe even less than that outside of agency financing. And I think there's two drivers to that. The first is we've now, there's been billions of dollars of DSCR loans originated since 2016. And we've actually got very strong performance data across the industry for DSCR loans. So DSCR loans are performing as well as or better than almost any other class of non-QM mortgage, including things like bank statement loans. So investors are in the bond market where a lot of these loans are financed are very attracted to the performance of the DSCR loans. And importantly, DSCR loans also, because they're business purpose loans, typically include prepayment penalties, anywhere from 1 to 5 years of prepayment penalties. And so again, for bond investors, this is highly attractive and appealing, and that helps drive down the financing costs. So first big trend is, I would say, DSCR loans today are going mainstream and the pricing is pretty aggressive. The second part of it is that DSCR financing now really represents a much larger portion of the single family rental mortgage market. In the past, we would have said that market was maybe $80 billion a year that was being financed on single family rentals, with most of it being done on agency finance. But a couple of years ago now, the agencies significantly increased their loan level price adjustments for investment properties, which made agency financing less attractive relative to DSCR loans. And the second thing that's happened is, we all read about all the bank, the local and regional bank exposure to commercial real estate. Most of the regional banks are pretty full up on commercial exposure. And so their appetite for financing things, smaller single family rental properties is, has waned over the last 18 months. And so DSCR loans, again, are just make up probably a much larger portion of the financing of single family rental properties.
As I alluded, I do want to talk Vizio before I let you go. Kind of a two-part question here. How's Vizio improving its market share in this environment? And also, how do you feel like you differentiate yourselves from the competition? I remember recommending to a friend that go with Vizio when he was looking at buying rental properties. And he said, what's the difference between them and another company I might work with?
So I think one of the things I would highlight for Vizio is we only do one thing. And so we specialize in financing single family rental properties, whether that's a long-term rental or a short-term rental. So our entire organization is built from top to bottom to do exactly that. We do our own internal technology development. We're vertically integrated from the originator all the way down to the funding, because we are actually structured in such a way that we fund in the bond market directly. So we are, it's always, you hear lenders talk about we are the lender. And at the end of the day, the money is always coming from somewhere else. But in our case, we're about as vertically integrated as you can get in that we are capitalized such that we can do our own securitizations. So for us, I think what that translates into is as much as possible, a smooth, seamless process for our customers where they have certainty of how our process works and the fact of the terms that they will receive, that they hear about on the front end of a loan, will be what they get at the back end of a loan. And we think for our investors, and as I said, so much of our business comes from repeat customers, we've always thought of it as trying to take financing and turn it from a variable into a constant. And what that means is for the investor, if they understand the type of financing that they can receive from Vizio, they take that and they incorporate it into their investment strategy. And so then as they screen properties, they understand that if they buy properties that kind of fit these types of requirements, that Vizio's financing will work very, very well for that situation. So I would say that's, we're pretty unique in the fact that we really only do one thing. And in order to succeed at that, we aspire to be the very, very best at that in the country.
Very well put. Mr. Ball, I wish you and the team at Vizio continued success. And as always, I love talking to you. So thank you for making the time for me.
Robbie, it was great to be with you. And thanks so much. Have a great day.
The Federal Reserve's Open Market Committee began its March FOMC meeting yesterday, and Fed funds futures see almost zero chance of a rate cut. The June futures are still leaning towards a 25 basis point cut, with a 40% chance that the Fed will keep rates the same. A slew of economic data in recent weeks has reinforced the Fed's case for caution. In January, Fed funds futures traders had priced in 6 to 7 quarter point rate cuts by the end of the year. Now, with inflation falling slower than expected, traders see 3 reductions starting in June or July, aligning with the Fed's December summary of economic projections. More germane to this commentary is housing, inventory, and sales. We learned yesterday that housing starts rose 10.7% month over month and 5.9% year over year to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.521 million units. Building permits were up 2.4% year over year to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.52 million. There's a continued shift from multifamily to single family, both in starts and permits. Multifamily starts were down 36% year over year to 377,000, while single family starts rose 35% to 1.13 million. There was a 30% rise in single family permits and a 33% decline in multifamily. Ahead of the Fed rate decision, today's economic calendar kicked off with mortgage applications decreasing 1.6% from 1 week earlier, according to data from the MBA's weekly mortgage application survey. Today's calendar is sparse, and the focus will be on this afternoon's FOMC policy statement, the central bank's latest dot plot, and Fed Chairman Powell's press conference. After yesterday brought the first rally in bond markets in nearly 2 weeks, we begin today with agency CMBS prices a shade better than closing levels yesterday, the 10-year yield at 4.28 after closing yesterday at 4.30%, and the 2-year at 4.68%. Let's wrap up with a joke and some housekeeping. Sin City, we all know, is Las Vegas, but do you know what Den City is? It's mass divided by volume. Thanks to today's podcast sponsor, Vizio Lending. With over $2.5 billion closed loans for single-family rental properties, including vacation rentals, Vizio is fast, simple, and dependable when it comes to financing rental properties. They believe time is money and strive to be upfront and consistent about their qualifications. Using a simple DSCR rather than a complicated NOI calculation, there are no tax returns or personal financial statements, and their pricing is set, so you always know your rate. Learn more, including about Vizio's top-notch broker program, at VizioLending.com. If you have any questions about the podcast or sponsoring opportunities, send me an email at robbie@robchrisman.com. Visit robchrisman.com for more information on our industry partners, access to archived commentaries, and how to subscribe to the daily mortgage news and commentary. To listen to or download past episodes of this podcast, search Mortgage News on any platform you get your podcast from.